Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to welcome all of our listening audience here in Shelbyville today, and we wish all of you a happy Sabbath. And we've had a little bit of difficulty with our radio station in the past, and there's times we've been off and on the air because of lightning strikes at our radio tower. But we're back on today and at a minimal cost, and we praise God for what he's done in helping us to get our radio station repaired. Amen. And thank you for being patient and waiting for us to come back on air. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 46, and we're going to be looking at how God is able to intercede for each one of us. And as I begin this message today, I'd invite you to pray with me if you will, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our life and that you do know what's happening in our life, and you know how to be able to deal with those issues better than we do. And so today, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be open and we could learn something about your faithfulness to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Zion was thought to be, by the Canaanites, an unconquerable fort. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, you see there that they thought that nobody was going to be able to attack them and overcome them. And this pagan tribe that had this hill was called the Jebusites. And David, according to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7, David was able to come there and to conquer this area called Jerusalem. And this psalm in Psalm 46 is a song that shows that Israel didn't trust in Zion, but they trusted in God, who was the God of Zion. God is our hiding place. And I think that's what the psalmist is trying to get across to us, is that as we go through life, we need to trust in God. He has always been present when help is needed for his people. You look in verse number 1, it says, God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And then you look at verse number 2, it begins this verse with the word therefore. Therefore, because of verse number 1, because God is our refuge and our strength and a present help in trouble, therefore, we can trust him through the toughest times of life. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We can trust God to be our strength. I believe that what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can have the strength to endure the difficulties of life because God is with us and gives us that strength. We can trust in God and in his strength. He is our hiding place. He is our help in time of great distress and trouble. You notice there at the end of verse number 3, it says, Selah. This is a rest in the thought. So what David is trying to get us to do is to just stop a minute and think about what he just said in these first three verses, that God is a present help in time of trouble, that he is our hiding place, that he is somebody that we can go to without fear, and that we don't have to worry about the consequences of life. We got God with us, and we need to be able to just take a moment and just think on that, about how God has been with his people down through the history of this world. God's presence is not a guarantee that you will not have trouble in your life. There's no rapture that is going to take us out when trouble strikes in our life. All of us are aware of that. Troubles come to us. Things happen. Bad things happen to good people, even to Christians. God doesn't remove us from that. And you can read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. You can see difficulties come to God's people. And God does not rapture them out of the difficulties. But God is with them through that, strengthening them and helping them to overcome. I believe that this psalm praises God for delivering this Zion, this worshiping community, from its enemies that surrounded it. Zion would not fall into the hands of the enemies, not because of the location that it had upon a hill that was seemed to be unconquerable, but because God was dwelling in Zion. That's what made it so secure. It's a fatal mistake, I believe, for us to think that we're safe just because we're Seventh-day Adventists. It's a fatal mistake to think we're safe from our enemies just because we have some denominational name or some church that we belong to. I don't care what your denominational beliefs are. It's not a safe thing. We're safe because God is with us, Amen. Not because we have a certain name with us. It doesn't matter what church you attend. If God is with you, God will sustain you. It does matter in these last days if all of God's people are at the remnant church. Now, sometimes people get a little confused about what the remnant church is. But I think when you go to the book of Revelation, you can plainly see in the book of Revelation that it describes the remnant church and what it will look like at the end of time. It is the church who has the commandments of God, all 10 of them, and the faith of Jesus Christ. That is the identifying characteristics of this church of God, this remnant church, the Zion that God wants to protect and be a part of. He wants all of us to be a part of that, and he calls us to come into this church in the last days so that we can find refuge with him. It's a fatal mistake for us to think that we're okay just because we're Christians. Bad things do happen to Christians, don't they? They certainly does. Because the devil is still in this world doing all he can to persecute God's people and to make life as difficult and as hard to bear as possible. God's promises are conditionally granted to each one of us based on our obedience to him, not on our heritage. It has nothing to do with what denomination we belong to. It doesn't matter how many times we go to church. God's blessings are granted to us based conditionally upon our obedience to the word that he gives us in his Bible. It's conditional. And I know there are some people that think that they can make a profession of faith and then just live any way they want, and God's grace will cover all of that. Well, God's grace does cover that if there are some things that happen, like a confession of sin and repentance, which means I turn away from those things that separate me from God, and I ask Jesus to come in my life and give me his victory and strength. Then we can be assured that God's grace will help us through those difficulties and cover those things. But friends, this promises of God are conditional based upon our obedience to him. And God wants us to follow him with truth and in spirit, to worship him with all of our heart. God will not be exalted. Zion will not be exalted, but God, who is inside of Zion, will be worshiped and exalted. You know, Israel experienced a lot of threats from outside. And sometimes they experienced a lot of threats from within. And those threats sometimes was religious and moral apostasy that happened inside and really was cutting away at the spiritual and religious fabric of their beliefs. And there were foreign invaders from without. We think of Assyria and Babylon, who often was attacking them. There's a story of King Hezekiah, who was held by Sennacherib in this death grip at Jerusalem. And you look in Isaiah 36, and we see there that Sennacherib sent his field commander to try and convince the people of Jerusalem to surrender to Sennacherib. And in their own Hebrew language, this man came and they ridiculed the God of Israel. You see that in Isaiah 36, 13 through 15, and also in verse 21. But Hezekiah's response to this threat that came to them was not to speak back to these invaders. He didn't make any kind of threats back at those people. What he did is he went into the temple for help from God. You see that in Isaiah 37, verses 1 through 6. And sometimes because trouble strikes, friends, we go the opposite direction of God. But what Hezekiah did when trouble threatened him and his kingdom, he went into the temple and laid the burden on God and asked for God to help. Too many times we stay away from church and away from God when tragedy strikes our life, when things aren't going just the way we want them to. When trouble comes our way, we often go the opposite direction from God. Sennacherib threatened again with a letter to Hezekiah in Isaiah 37:14. And when you have problems, friends, we need to follow what Hezekiah did. Because again, Hezekiah went into the temple, he spread that letter before the Lord, and he laid out the burden that he had about how Sennacherib was threatening him and wanted to conquer his kingdom. And God replied in a very decisive way in Isaiah 37, verses 33, 35, and 31 through 32. And at the height of Zion's cries, God delivered his people. And you have the experience too, to know that when you cry out to God, God is able to answer. He is able to help you through the most difficult times of life. And when the children of Israel were surrounded by this invading army, they looked up one morning, according to Isaiah 37, 36, and 185,000 men had died because God was there protecting his people. And he interceded for them. He'll do that for you as well, only if we will trust in him and we will follow what he asks us to do. All of those blessings and promises that God wants to give to his people are based upon conditions, the condition of obedience to the Father. Fear often threatens us, threatens our trust in God. And the forces of nature can frighten us at times. When you think about all of the tornadoes and earthquakes, all of the fires and mudslides and floods that happen around the world. This song is relevant, I think, in Isaiah, in Psalm 46. It's relevant even when the universe seems to be in chaos and things are happening everywhere that are destructive. God's people don't have to fear for their existence during these times of trouble, because God rules over all of the forces of nature. He rules all over it all. Christ proved his control over the forces of nature when he calmed the storm in Mark chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. And when he walked on the water in Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 51, those who come to Jesus with trust in him become a part of Zion, the city of the living God. That's according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 24. So when we come to God, we become a part of his family. We become a part of that Zion that God is with and living inside of. And if you have come here with fear, with anxiety, with trouble, with struggles in your life, with worry on your heart, today, friends, this morning, won't you rest in the shelter of the Most High God? Won't you trust fully in his grace, the grace that Christ wants to bestow upon each one of us this morning? In fact, when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when the Apostle Paul was troubled, the Lord told him this, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So when we feel we're struggling, when troubles come our way, when things aren't working out the way we want them to, we can trust in God's grace to be sufficient for every need that we have, if only we will come to him and trust in him, if we will only behold him and how he wants to work things out in our life. When the Apostle Paul was troubled, he didn't run the opposite way from God. He ran to God and asked God to deal with the issues that he faced. May you find the grace of Christ today sufficient for every need that you have, no matter what that need is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how big it seems to you. Won't you trust in God today completely and fully to be able to provide for you and to help you through that difficult time? Look with me now in Psalm 46. At verses 4 through 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Take a moment and think about that. Think about that, that God is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. He is the one that we can trust in, the one we can come to when difficulties strike us, when things are not working out the way we hoped they would. We can come to God, who is our refuge. When we're being attacked by our enemy, the devil, and he's doing everything he can to destroy us and our faith in God, we can come to the Father, and we can trust in him because he is our refuge. We can seek help from him. You see, in Psalm 46, 4 through 7, it turns its attention away from the calamity to something that is peaceful and secure. It turns our attention to the future city of God, this new Jerusalem that God has promised that he will bring down out of heaven to this earth for each one of us to be a part of. This new Jerusalem. What a difference. The previous picture of chaos was shown here with all of the difficulties that were happening. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the earth will be removed. And though we don't have to fear any of that. When we see the earth shaking with earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and fire and everything else that you can think of, the disasters that happen around the world, we don't have to fear, friends. We have security in God Himself. What a difference that makes in trusting in God. The waters that first caused terror and destruction are now transformed into a source of peace for Zion. You see, the prophet Isaiah sings a song of God. And he sings of the presence of the future. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 12. In Isaiah chapter 12, we'll be reading verse 2 through 6. In Isaiah chapter 12, beginning at verse 2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation. And therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name and declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, that this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." That's what makes us safe and secure, knowing that the God of Zion is with us, friends, and we have nothing to fear when God is with us. The love we have for God casts out all fear about what the devil could do to us, because the God who lives in your heart and who is in Zion is greater than he that is out in the world, the devil that attacks all of God's people. So we could trust in that God is stronger than the devil, and that he is here to help each one of us. How can the psalmist say that Jerusalem has a river when it doesn't even have a stream? It only has a small spring near Gihon. He must be speaking in light of the future, where God will restore the Garden of Eden and Jerusalem, and will be there with his people. Look with me in Isaiah 51. In 51 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. In Isaiah chapter 51, at verse number 3, it says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." You see, when we get to heaven, friends, and when we have become a part of that new Jerusalem that God has gone to heaven to prepare for us, there will not be any more of these earthquakes and tornadoes and fear and death and sorrow and crying that we have down here on this earth. When we become a part of that new Jerusalem that God has for us in the future, there's not going to be any of these things. It's all going to be peace and joy and happiness up there in heaven. And we'll be giving thanksgiving, and we'll be expressing our joy in songs to God for his blessings to each one of us. Ezekiel in vision sees a river that flows from the temple. And this stream causes the fruit trees to grow on both sides of the river. But the most vital message of the meaning of the name of the New Jerusalem is the Lord is there. You see that in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. Look with me there. In Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse number 35. In Ezekiel 48 at 35, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That's what we want to have in our life, friends, is that when trouble strike, we have nothing to fear because the Lord is there. He's there with us, helping us through those difficulties. And oftentimes, when those things threaten our existence, when they come to us and the trouble strikes, we oftentimes tremble at the thought of the trouble instead of trusting in God to deal with that trouble. God is greater than any trouble that the devil could ever bring to us. And as long as we have God, He will help us through those difficult times. He can give us the strength that we need to be able to endure those difficult situations. Also, as we look at John the Revelator, it shows the fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision in Revelation chapter 22 in verses 3 and 4. So if you got your scriptures with you and you want to turn with me to that, Revelation chapter 22 in verses 3 and 4. And it begins here in verses 3 of Revelation 22, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads." You see, that time is coming, friends. And the Lord knows of no defeat. He has never been defeated. And He knows of no time that there will ever be a defeat for Him. And that's why Revelation pictures Jesus riding on a white horse with a bow and a crown. Because He is the victor of all assaults that the devil has brought against Him and against His people. He is the victor of it all. He knows no defeat. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to trust in the Lord, friends, and find victory and success in Him. The devil cannot overcome us unless we allow him. As long as we're trusting in the God of Zion and we're trusting in Him to help us, we can find victory and success over the devil. And Psalm 46, it must be seen in the light of eternity. From God's point of view, there is a contrast between God's city and our earthly society that we have, that we live in today. There's a big difference. God's city cannot fail because He is within that city, and that's what Psalm 46, verse 5 has to say. It tells us there that God is in the city, and because of that, it cannot fail. Listen, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He guarantees His help for us. He is with us, and He is against Zion's enemies. But His rescue comes according to His time schedule, friends, not ours. And that's where I think the rub happens for most Christians, is that they expect God to come just like a genie popping out of a little jar. They rub it and say, "God, I've got my problem," and He just flashes back right then, instantly. God comes when He knows it's the right time. We see in Scriptures how God has interacted with His people, and it doesn't always happen the way the people think it's supposed to. But God does answer prayer. He may come at the break of day. He may come at sunrise. It may be in the morning. But the Scripture says that He comes right early, when it's just on time. God comes and does what He has to help His people. In Exodus chapter 14, look with me there in Exodus 14, at verse number 27. In Exodus 14, at verse number 27, it says this, "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." So you see, when the time was just right, God interceded for the people. When it was just at the right time, they thought it was too late, that they were going to be overcome and killed and destroyed by the Egyptians. But just at the instant when they thought they were doomed, that's when God brought help to them. And sometimes, friends, if we would just be patient and trust in God, He would help us through those most difficult, trying times of life if we would not give up our faith but continue to trust in Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 in the New Testament, it tells us that the God who helped Israel through all of their wanderings in the desert was none other than that rock, Jesus Christ, who was with them. He helped them through every challenge, every difficulty that they have. He delivered them out of the devil's snare many times. They trusted in Him. And so today, friends, I encourage you to put your faith, your trust, in the hands of Jesus. Let Him be the one who helps you through the most difficult, trying times of your life. God has the movement of the nations within his power and within his control. In verse number 8 of Psalm 46, let me get back to that text. In Psalm 46, we see here in verse number 8, in verse 8, it says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth." We need to trust in God. And the problem is that with God having the nations within his power and control, verse 8 is an invitation from God to come and see if that is true or not. And you see what the problem is of Hosea, the prophet, he explains it quite well. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says that God's people are being destroyed due to a lack of knowledge of God. They have no experiential knowledge with God, is what it's saying. And too many Christians do not have experiential knowledge of God. They have not trusted him enough to see his providence in their life. They have not studied the word of God to see if what God is doing for them is really a fulfillment of promises that he's had with them. God's people oftentimes are being destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge of the word of God. They listen to tradition. They listen to somebody's opinion instead of trusting in the truth that God puts in the word. And God calls us to study his word and ask for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us to that truth so that we can apply that his will to our life. And I don't want to be destroyed because I don't understand who God is and because I lack the faith to trust him. Look at how he has created everything, how he has helped in time of trouble for his people down through history, how he has interceded in our behalf through our life itself. Christ at the cross, friends, came and interceded for this world, for you and for me, in time of trouble, when this world seemed like it was going to go by the wayside, and the devil seemed like he was in total, complete control. Jesus came at a time to save this world, which includes all of us. He came at a time when it was desperate. And we need to behold the works of the Lord, friends, and how he has worked in your life and in mine. We can't go through life with blinders on and keep saying, well, I'm going to believe when God stands in front of me and I can touch him, like Thomas the skeptic said, unless I can put my finger in his side and see the holes in his hands, I'm not going to believe. We need to believe and trust in God. And all of his evidences for his people are pretty evident for all of us. We've seen how God has answered prayer, how he provides for our daily life. The very life that we have, the breath that we breathe, all come from God. Every blessing that you and I enjoy is something that comes to us down out of heaven from God. God wants us to make plans for peace, friends, not for war. This time is coming very soon when he is going to stop all the wars of this world and all the violence, all the tragedy that has been striking this world, so that his kingdom of righteousness will be established and his peace will reign forever. Look with me in Daniel chapter 2 at verse 44. In Daniel chapter 2 at verse 44. In this prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, of this image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about, Daniel is explaining the prophecy to Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 44, he says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Forever." You see, we can trust in that, because there is coming a time when God is going to come back to this earth and all of these things that have gone wrong, everything that has gotten broken by the devil, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to fix it. And he's going to establish his kingdom, and it's going to be something that will last forever. And peace will reign forever with our Father and with Christ. It will be a part of our legacy throughout eternity. God wants us to plan for that future. The purpose of God's holy war, is peace on earth. He wants all of us to prepare for war no more. That's what Micah 4:3 says, that we should not be preparing for that. What we should be preparing for is living eternally with God in heaven. Can you agree with that? It's time for us to put the war machines down. Man's eternal security is not in his weapons, but in his relationship with the God who is the one who protects us and who fulfills his promises to us. Our protection, our peace, our security is in the Messiah who died for us at Calvary. It's not in the machines of war. And it's time for us to put those things down and start enjoying the peace that God wants us to have. Isaiah, he directs us to the hope of Israel, to this coming Prince of Peace in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Turn with me, if you will, there in Isaiah 9, verses 5 and 6. In Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 5, it says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled into blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The peace that God wants us to have, friends, is going to last for eternity. And he wants us to be able to enjoy that peace today by having him live inside of us. That's the only way that peace can ever come to us, friends, is if God is with us and we're with him. He has to be inside of us, or else that peace cannot come to us. Our strength is not of ourselves, but of God. You know, Calvin, the great reformer, he once said this, that the faithful might learn that without any aid from the world, the grace of God alone was sufficient for them. Therefore, though the help of God may but trickle to us in slender streams, we should enjoy a deeper tranquility than if all the power of the world was heaped up all at once for our help. Praise God. He understood what it meant, being a reformer and dealing with the issues he dealt with in the Reformation. He understood what importance the help of God meant to him. And you look here in Psalm 46, back at verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." God says for us to hush. Stop talking. Stop all the busyness. Cease from your tumult and realize that I am God. And sometimes we're just way too busy. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, which means we should listen twice as much as we talk. And sometimes we're so busy talking that we can't hear God. We talk way too much and we pray too little. And we need to spend time talking to God, but we need to spend time listening to him as well. We need to spend time with God. We need to have poise and steadiness. Because of our ceaseless busyness, friends, we don't get that. And we need to spend time listening to God. I want you to understand that busyness does not equate to holiness. We can stay busy 24/7. This world will keep us going in circles all the time. But that does not equate to holiness. What equates to holiness is us spending time with the Holy God and allowing his righteousness and his holiness and his peace to be inside of each one of us. Moses spent 40 years in Midian. You see that in Acts chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. Paul spent 3 years in the desert, according to Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This was in preparation for the duties of their divine calling. And we become acquainted with God by observing his acts of providence in our life. We see the acts of God all around us. Too many people want to close their eyes to God. They want God to stand in front of them so they can see him personally. Well, I hope at some point in time that will happen for them so that they can believe. But I believe if we've got our eyes open, looking for God, truly open to his providence is for us, we could see God interacting in our life on a daily basis. As John Wesley faced death, all night long before he died, he repeated the promises of verses 7 and 11. Well, look with me now in Psalm 46, verse 7 and 11. "The Lord of God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." And so those who learned to sing this song of victory now, friends, by trusting in Jesus, have nothing to fear for the future. Our present circumstances do not determine the future the God of heaven does. the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, and the song of the Lamb in Revelation 15 will blend into the choir that is praises to the God of heaven who has delivered us from this evil, wicked world and has taken us to that new Zion, the new Jerusalem that he's prepared for us. Look with me now as I close in this discussion today. Revelation chapter 15, the song of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Practice this song, friend, because when you get to heaven, this is what you'll sing. In Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Praise God. Behold the works of the Lord. Pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, today open our eyes and our heart to your great manifestations in our life. Help us to see the promises that you give us. And Lord, by your grace, may we be faithful to you and obey all that you ask us to do. Thank you for your blessings to us, for the grace that you shower upon each of us every day. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that you interact in our life. Bless us and send us away with your blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen.